And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
It is a tremendous honor once again to welcome back to our show economic trends forecaster, pro-freedom advocate Martin Armstrong. Learn more about Martin by going to his website at armstrongeconomics.com. I always say this at every show, but Martin is the first website that I go to in the morning. It's the first thing I read in the morning because I always feel it's the most cutting-edge information. And I highly recommend you subscribe to his paid blog so you can get the exclusive updates. Martin, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Interesting times we live in.
Yes, very interesting times. And as somebody who's been a reader of yours for a long time, I'm seeing several of your predictions that have come true, especially the ones that you were saying back in 2014. So it's just quite amazing how you've been able to predict these things. You know, we've been hearing this talk a lot lately about, I tend to hear it a lot, say, oh, how far the U.S. has fallen, how all this stuff is happening. And it's kind of weird, but I don't understand why human nature doesn't ever seem to change, why people don't seem to correct their past mistakes, even though that they know that they failed. Is there any particular reason based on, you know, what you know about human history, what you know about Socrates, why humans continue to make the same mistakes and why that is such a precursor for the future?
Well, I mean, I've noticed, I mean, being called in since 85 for all the different financial crises, et cetera, they never ask when somebody puts forth a solution, has this ever been tried before? Did it work? That question is just never asked. I mean, you take wage and price controls. I mean, that's what Hammurabi's legal code was about. You know, it's fixing prices of labor and to silver, etc. You had the Roman Emperor Diocletian issue wage and price controls. Well, so did Richard Nixon. And, you know, and now they're talking about it again. I mean, have nobody ever looks, I think, it back to see, you know, can we learn something? I really don't think so. Those in power just act out of their own self-interest all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And I thank you for answering that. And I read your recent book about the rise and fall of the rise of the neocons. And according to, I guess, your recent book, it seems like these particular types of people are controlling everything. So that being said, I was wondering, can you please give the average person a quick recap of who the neocons are and what this means for the United States? I mean, is World War III something that cannot be stopped at this point? Is this something that the whole world is going to have to go through regardless? And are we going to see future conflicts like this continue to emerge unless these people are somehow dislodged from power?
Well, you know, it's hard to figure out why these people have their deranged view of the world. All I could say is ever since Khrushchev said, we will bury you, they adopted the opposite philosophy that they wanted to use regime change to force democracy upon the world. So they were effectively doing what Khrushchev said. You know, of course, he wanted to do it with communism. And even though communism failed, there was a coup and they removed Khrushchev because he was too, you know, controversial and confrontational. They never changed. I mean, all this nonsense with Ukraine and Russia. I mean, the war would be over in 5 minutes if they only simply honored the Minsk agreement, which they all agreed to. I mean, it's they are clearly doing this because they want to conquer Russia, period. And I am shocked, but I mean, they have infiltrated basically everything. The International Criminal Court, which now just, you know, issued an indictment of Putin. I mean, I even had dinner with them. I mean, what is basically, you know, they cannot and have no jurisdiction over any country that's not a member. Okay. So the United States didn't join, China didn't join, and neither did Russia. All right. So they can never prosecute any American soldier or head of state because their rules are they can only prosecute members. So for them to you know, come up with this concoction to indict Putin shows that they've just been politically manipulated. Otherwise, they could indict George Bush, you know, for Iraq. I mean, the same kind of stuff. I mean, but I do believe that the U.S. elections were rigged, and they got Biden in because it was just too important to them. And ever since they got Biden in, I mean, they've seized control of the White House. I mean, they even had a congressman call me and ask me if I would get back into Washington. I said, I don't want to go to your tinsel city, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, why do you people keep calling me all the time? And I was even shocked at the response. He says, well, we don't have anybody with your expertise from the Cold War. I said, that's just 1991. I mean, I don't know if just everybody has just left. I mean, you know, you had Biden's press secretary bragging about how woke they are. You know, he has seven, you know, transgender aides. I mean, I don't know where you could find seven of them in one room. You know, I mean, you have to go out of your way to find that. I mean, this is not about qualifications. And that's what the whole banking crisis is. I mean, honestly, I lost my voice over the weekend having to scream at these people. I mean, they were actually at first contemplating not covering 85% of the deposits. I said, do you realize what will happen? And I said, every small business should then run out and take all their money out of the bank.
You know, I want to come back to you about that question real quick about the banking system, because there's definitely one there, but just real quick on when it comes to the neocons that you were describing about how things are going in terms of the U.S. I mean, if you put the presidency aside, it seems that members of Congress seem to vote in alignment with a lot of things that, you know, regardless of what party gets in, they seem to have the idea that American civil liberties are still going to continue to be curtailed. You're still going to have this monetary system where the Fed prints money, and more money gets printed and more money gets donated to these other countries or given to these other countries. So, theoretically speaking, how significant is the presidency from your perspective? Has it diminished in its capability of influence throughout the world? Or is that just mainly just symbolically speaking, something to pacify the masses so they don't flat out get up and, you know, really realize what's going on?
Well, the Biden administration is just a puppet regime at this point. I mean, the neocons have seized control of foreign policy. And that little, you know, report that I put out on it, I showed it went back even to Reagan. When Reagan had proposed to meet with Gorbachev, they were against it. They tried to stop it. They have been all the time. And I would recommend McNamara, who was the neocon that behind the Vietnam War, before he died. I mean, you can look at it on YouTube. I think he got religion or something and came out and apologized and said we were wrong. but they thought at that time that Russia was really behind Vietnam. And he put out a book basically saying, look, we should learn from our mistakes. But nobody else pays attention to it. But, you know, it's been consistent this way. When Trump came to power, as soon as he was elected in November, John McCain and Lindsey Graham ran to the Ukraine in December, before he's even sworn in, and said, we're going to give you all the money you need. We're going to have to, you know, start this war, you know, keep going against Russia. This is all they want. All right. And then when Trump came in, he was reluctant to do anything. The neocons got him to actually gave Ukraine the javelins. He's the first one that did give them lethal weapons. Jeez. All right. Despite the fact, all the propaganda that, oh, he was a Putin puppet and all this stuff. He's actually the one that gave Ukraine javelin missiles to go after their tanks. But then he realized, I think, that he was being played. And you had John Bolton. And I actually went to dinner at Mar-a-Lago in March of 20. And that's when he said that he was going to withdraw all the troops from Afghanistan. And he actually said that he was sick and tired of writing letters to families that their son had died, you know, for God and country. And he actually said, he says, what are they dying for? They've been fighting over borders for 1,000 years. What difference are we going to make? And I'm quoting him. And from that moment on, John Bolton came out. That's it. He's a traitor to the country. Blah. You know, all they want is war against Russia. That's it.
I don't understand. It's like insane. And based on what you're seeing every day with your Socrates, which makes hundreds of reports a day, are you seeing a inevitable war with Russia heating up? Is that going to come quicker than you expected? And also, what do you foresee happening in the U.S. as far as the presidential election goes? Because I don't know, a lot of people are harping on it. I mean, anyone who doesn't seem to be pushing for a war with Russia seems to be attacked. So I'm curious if Socrates is foreseeing and something happening quicker with Russia. Are we going to get in the Third World War based on the acceleration of events that seem to be appearing much more rapidly than we've been accustomed to?
Well, I should say, look, these forecasts come from the computer. And I stood up in 2011, said, OK, fine. The computer is saying the war cycle is turning up in 2014. In 2013, I came out and I said, OK, fine. The hot spot will be Ukraine. That's where everything starts. I mean, even RT from Russia called me and said, how did you predict, you know, Ukraine a year in advance? Look, this is, the computer is monitoring absolutely everything. I don't think there's an individual that can possibly do all these types of forecasts. Certainly years in advance before anything even happens. As far as World War III is concerned, it still shows, you know, from basically from 25 on. Probably peaking out around 27 to 28.
Okay. Is that nuclear war? Or is that just a hot war? Is that a hot war with Russia and US?
It's probably Russia and China, wow. And even North Korea and I would say Iran. I mean, the world has been clearly divided. These neocons have, basically violated every agreement that there ever was. Even you take, you know, Taiwan. All right, we had a passive agreement. Yes, there's one China. Okay. And as long as we had that, China didn't have to really invade Taiwan. Then Pelosi hops on a plane and all this, oh, we're going to defend you. Now, all of a sudden, you're slapping them in the face. All right. And then, you have the Biden administration getting on publicly and saying, if you dare give Russia any weapons, this is what we're going to do. That is stuff that you say behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Not publicly. As soon as you say it publicly, I think this is deliberate, because that now makes China look weak if it backs down.
So
it's like two guys in a schoolyard. One slaps the other one in the face. Well, now the other one's going to fight back. I can't imagine it's just simple incompetency. It seems to be a deliberate act by these neocons. They finally got control. They got control of the ICC court, the Biden administration, Europe, and they're pushing every button possible for war.
Well, looking at them, I wonder if these particular groups of people that you describe as the neocons, if they have a loyalty to any particular type of country, because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm a person who is, very wealthy beyond imagine, and I have all these different assets in various countries throughout the world, I may not be particularly aligned to any particular country. I may be what you call a globalist at this point. Do you think that the neocons specifically are aligned to American interests, or do they have any loyalty whatsoever to any nation at all? Are neocons seen all throughout various countries? Are they working behind the scenes to create war in order to further a bigger interest, such as the World Economic Forum, which they're trying to push for that Great Reset? Is what's happening with the neocons aligned to the World Economic Forum's plan for the 2030 agenda or the Great Reset in any capacity?
I don't think it really goes that far.
Okay.
They tend to be very singular minded. And although they, are the most aggressive ones are the American ones.
Okay.
And honestly, when I stood up and even in 2011 and said, okay, fine, this is when the war is going to start. You asked me then, do you think the United States would have been the aggressor? I would have said no. All right. From a personal perspective, now the U.S. is the aggressor. There's no question about it. They have orchestrated everything. There was the Minsk agreement, and then you had Merkel come out and in response to saying, well, gee, why, doesn't Germany tell Ukraine just to honor the Minsk agreement? And she actually responded and said, well, we never really intended. It was just a stall tactic to allow Ukraine to build an army to go after Russia. That confirms the aggressor is the West. It's not Russia. And then you can look on the Daily Wire, Google it. On February 23rd, Zelensky stands up and he then says that Ukraine is going to rearm nuclear. That night, Putin goes on air and says this is what they're saying, and I've got no choice. It's kind of like us in the Cuban Missile Crisis. The next day, he goes in. All right. And then they say, oh, unprovoked. Well, they've done absolutely everything to provoke it. You had, the vice president at the Munich affair, Security Council, saying that Ukraine should join, NATO. And that agreement from 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Ukraine, most people don't realize, had more nuclear weapons than China.
Oh.
And so the agreement was they gave them up. They returned them to Russia. All right. NATO agreed not to invade, and Russia agreed not to invade as long as Ukraine remained neutral. That was, the Belgrade Agreement. So they violated that, and then they violated the Minsk Agreement. So it's clearly you know, being orchestrated by the neocons on this side. You know, did Vice President, you know, Harris even understand what she was saying? Probably not. She just reads the cue cards like Biden. You know, so it's whoever's writing up the cue cards is basically whatever they say.
It's a lot to worry about, especially if in the U.S. But I want to come back to the banking system. I appreciate your answer. I want to come back to the banking system. But before I get to that, I want to just share with everyone real quick. Please, if you get a chance, when you go to armstrongeconomics.com, not only read Martin's updated blogs that he has on a regular basis, but read the ones about history. I always find your historical blogs, when you're talking about how you tie various patterns with history together, very fascinating. And so I want to say, you know, thank you for writing those. One particular blog I found very fascinating was one you're talking about a gentleman named Alan Matheson Turning. You're saying that Turning discovered in nature that there was a hidden order within identical cells that change, become, so there's some kind of like hidden intelligence behind it. You also talked about the Lorentz strange attractor, and that was discovered. It illustrates that there's a hidden order that exists within the overall appearance of randomness in our society. And I think you also tied that into a quote by Albert Einstein saying, God does not play dice. And being with all those things together, and we're seeing this randomness and chaos, what do you gauge as the hidden order behind all this, the reason why all this is happening? And at the same time, do you find that Socrates is in some way, shape, or form been able to tap into this hidden order or this hidden intelligence behind why all these events are occurring?
Yes. I mean, the fact that, you know, the model has come out, I mean, even, you know, when I published it first in 1979, and it even predicts the very day of the 1987 crash. How is that possible? All right. Unless there is this hidden order. And Alan Turing basically found that, you know, there was the process in an embryo. When you first look at every cell is identical. How do they suddenly clump together and change? And one forms an eye, another one forms skin, and another one, when they're all absolutely identical at the beginning. You know, there's Turing basically, besides, you know, breaking, he really kind of like started, invented the computer. But and you can watch a film on him, The Imitation Game. And he broke the, you know, the Enigma code. But he was a great mathematician, and he saw order in what everybody else thinks is chaos. Now, you know, there is Socrates has identified this, and it is a clear business cycle, I call it, in effect, because everything's in there, from war, climate change, you name it, everything combines together the same way as in biology, what Turing was experiencing, that creates the outcome. All right, you have the sea people that invaded and wiped out the Bronze Age. All right, why did they come? Because they got cold in the north, all right? Why did the Huns invade Europe? Because they went through a big drought over there, so they moved, all right? So there's always, you know, different aspects of this. And so you can predict them, and people will respond, unfortunately, and to the same type of response. Because the one thing, I mean, history might change from technology, all right? Kind of like Star Wars. I mean, it's the retake of the fall of Roman Republic. Instead of swords, they're laser swords, etc. I mean, but that's basically what it is. It was based upon Rome.
I'm just kind of wondering, what's the hidden code behind it, though? Like, what's driving that hidden code? Like, what is the origin of it? And is there anything that people can do to change it? Because I find it very fascinating that Socrates has been so incredibly accurate with the predictions. And you said that, you know, a lot of times you want to be disproven. You don't want Socrates to be right. So I'm wondering based on all your years of observation, what is the driving force? What is the origin of this hidden code? And ultimately, is this hidden code leading humanity to a more peaceful, more prosperous place? Is the chaos that we're seeing part of the, they call it the consciousness, kind of correcting itself or priming itself to be something greater than what it is?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, the computer showing that this all comes to a head by 2032. And I think you can see it and you can smell it. I mean, United States is no longer the peaceful nation of liberty and the beacon to the world. It's just be getting completely nuts, wanting to, you know, indict Trump. Yeah. I mean, that's becoming like a banana republic or what Ukraine does. It always imprisons the last president, you know. I mean, we were above those sorts of things, but, you know, doesn't seem to be any longer. And what this driving force, I mean, you know, I've been able to identify it's basically a cycle frequency on pi.
Okay.
And it's works out to be 3,141 days is 8.6 years. Three times that is 25.8, and that's the 25,800 years is the time difference for the precession of the equinox. So the entire universe is based upon this.
Amazing.
It really is. It's no matter where you look at, it's and the system is fractal. So you have a child, and that child looks like you. It's self-referral. Okay, so society in every aspect is fractal. If you look at, you know, the veins of a leaf from a tree, it looks like a tree. It's very fascinating, but we're so connected on every possible level. So, I mean, you know, politics is really a throwback to really, you know, I don't know, just really barbaric ideas or something like that, that we can manipulate and change things. I mean, I could run for Congress, say, vote for me, I'll save the whales, the women's rights, whatever. And then as soon as I get down there, they go, well, yeah, that's very nice, but this is what you're going to vote. All right. And if you look at the votes, you're always down party line.
Yeah.
All right. So it's just one giant fraud. They go, oh, well, I like this candidate because they say this versus that. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The guys in the dark room in the back tell them what to vote and how to vote. Now, the neocons, which is interesting, are on both sides. All right. No. And they have engulfed both sides. Hillary Clinton was a neocon. And John McCain is the one that handed her fake dossier to Comey. So it looked like it came from Republicans. And that was against Trump and Russia. I mean, it's always the same thing. They play, you know, they play in the same sandbox.
It seems pretty, seems pretty clear about that. I mean, it seems like nothing really changes. Foreign policy doesn't change at all. And I know some people are looking for president for a solution. And I don't know. I quite frankly, I just observe and kind of and I'm amazed at how weird it's getting. When some of your recent blogs, I always tune in, particularly when you talk about how the U.S. is kind of it seems to be in that phase where it's kind of breaking up, where it's going to go, people are going to split. And then I was also thinking about this, that you always talk about saying you can kind of tell where things are going to go based on where money flows. So if you're looking at the U.S. going through a breakup, where do you think the money would more likely flow into? I mean, is there any economic indications that reveal where some of the states that are going to be the most prosperous are? Are there any indications that a breakup with the U.S. will accelerate anytime soon? Are we looking at anything? Is this something going to happen post 2032, or is this something that's going to start happening within the next couple of years?
Well, it's already starting. I mean, you have a lot of separatist movements developing. You've got even Northern, California wanting to leave the South.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much everywhere you go, you have places from Oregon that want to leave and join Idaho. And but effectively, it will be the New England area against the South. The Middle West will probably join with the South. California, Oregon, Washington, they will probably join with the New England area. It just becomes so polarized over politics. And I mean, a lot of it is, it's just been total propaganda. And I would say a lot of it is, you have to attribute to Hillary. She basically was demonizing anybody that even voted for Trump. They're the deplorables. You're downgrading basically half the country. And that has metastasized basically into this really deep hatred between Republicans and Democrats. Where you look at it in California, I mean, it's just like a foreign country anymore compared to Florida.
A lot of people move away from California, say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're pouring into Florida, Texas. It's completely insane. But this is, it's been polarized to such a degree, I don't see it coming back.
Okay.
It's only going to get worse. And the more things happen, I mean, in all honesty, you probably really do need Trump as president, because he's the only one that would go in there and understand now what they really did to him and maybe go kick ass. I don't know. But any other president, they asked me if I would get back involved and would I talk to Trump and not and convince him not to run and then to advise DeSantis. And I told him, I said, if you get me involved, I said, I'm going to tell DeSantis not to go. Oh, why would you do that? Because you guys are just going to eat him for lunch anyhow. If you look at Trump's cabinet, they stuff the people in there.
Yep.
All right. It's not his choice. All right. He was told, oh, look, you're not a politician. To keep the confidence in the country, we need people with experience. So they put in people like John Bolton and et cetera. Yeah. Every one of them stabbed him in the back. Every single one of them. All right. And I mean, I know the way it works. I was even asked if I would join the White House as chief economic advisor under Bush Jr. I said, no, thank you. All right. But so it's, the idea, that movie that presented that, that Cheney met with Bush and Bush made the decision. No way. I mean, absolutely no way. This is the way it works. I mean, it's just so corrupt, and you never see the people behind the curtain who make the decisions on what to vote.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know, quite frankly, if any particular president could make a difference at this point. I don't know if things have gone too bad or too sunk too low, or if you want to say decorum among people. And when you're talking about the breakup of the U.S., when you have different sections, if all people are still covered under Social Security, if there's so many, if the federal government is involved in so many aspects, how could there any kind of secession or any kind of breakup happen if you still have the government at a powerful level, on a federal level? How could that possibly happen?
Because all that power is being squandered away.
Okay.
I mean, just look at what Biden's doing. He's paying all salaries of the entire Ukrainian government.
That's crazy.
And their pensions. Then you talk about, Medicare or Social Security. Oh, well, screw Americans. They didn't vote for me anyhow or something. It's just, we're we're more concerned about Ukraine than our own people.
Yeah.
And that's because the neocons are using it as a spearhead. And they look, I know some of these people. I mean, Bill Kristol even spoke at one of our conferences.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, he wrote the book to go into into Iraq. The theory these people operate on is regime change. We all heard about CIA assassinating people, but these people, that's their basic philosophy. They thought of going in and overturning, Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein. And their theory is if they remove these people that they don't like, that the people will then cheer and give them a ticker tape parade because they brought in democracy to their country. Mm-hmm. And it's never happened once. I mean, every war that these people have orchestrated from Vietnam on, we've lost. It's just crazy.
I understand why that has to happen. I mean, I think that, if you're on the planet right now, you want to have world peace. It's beneficial for everyone to have peace. So I don't understand the mentality behind it. But I want to come back to something that I was going to bring up earlier, which is the banking system. And we're seeing a lot of these banks starting to fail. And Martin, I cannot understand for the life of me how the banking system didn't completely collapse years ago. If you have all these banks that don't have a set number of reserves in there and people have all this money that they think they have, and if they're seeing something happen with the bank, whether one bank fails, I can't believe that people haven't done these runs on the banks a long time ago. I can't believe that people are putting their money in the banks. I mean, I guess you have to because you have to pay bills and do certain things. But why do you think that this thing hasn't happened? Do you foresee a massive run on the banks in the foreseeable future? And also, for people who are pretty aware of what's going on right now, What are some of the best solutions? I mean, should you put your money in precious metals as a holding for now? Should you put it in real estate? Should you put it in art? Should you put it in baseball cards? I mean, what are some of the ways to prevent or protect your assets from a potential bank run in the future?
Well, the 07 to 09 crisis was different. That was mortgage-backed securities really created by Goldman Sachs and sold to the big banks, all right? So that was different. Lehman went down, Bear Stearns went down. This one is about rising interest rates. And the banks, SVB, Signature, et cetera, it's a combination of just really a complete lack of expertise and this woke agenda. They're more concerned about hiring people to check the balances here and say, see, I'm woke or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the four people in charge of SVB, the four women they put in there, okay, one white and three of color and one's Spanish. I mean, you're more concerned about that than you are about qualifications.
It's crazy.
And so what happens in this crisis is the Fed has been raising interest rates. And you have the left-wing press saying, oh, well, inflation's not that bad and it's going to, subside and the Fed will bring interest rates back down. And these people lacking any experience had no risk factor at all. They just believe whatever they read on the headlines. So these banks have gone down because what's happened here is also combined with war. I've dealt with more central banks than I think anybody, but you cannot, as a central banker, you cannot come out and actually tell the truth. All right. In this case, Powell is testifying, yes, and about inflation, I'm going to raise rates. what was the first time he raised rates? It was March of 22, 2 weeks after the Ukrainian war starts. Yes. All right. Inflation was going up from 2020 into 2022. He did not respond. All right. The most inflationary aspect is war. Vietnam War. I mean, just go back and you can look at it. He knows that, you know, Biden is just taking shovel after shovel and throwing it down a black hole. All right. And that is the most inflationary aspect, paying for everybody in the Ukrainian government. I mean, this is insane. The amount of money he has given Ukraine, all right, besides
crazy.
The double the military budget of Germany, all right, he could have paid off all student loans in this country. He could have funded Social Security, Medicare for everybody that's on the planet right now. We take second fiddle to Ukraine.
This is, I mean, I know that you know, we've talked about this before, but you know, people like Peter Schiff saying, oh, you know, they're gonna have the hyperinflation because of this, and you know, we're going back to a gold center, which I know you said you don't agree with, but at some point, does this strain eventually, what eventually does this do to the financial system? I mean, do people eventually have money where they get transferred over to that central bank digital currency? Is that what they're going to do? Will they be successful with that? Or does their currency just continue to appreciate in value but never go to zero, but just basically become, like, you know, so much worth than what it originally was?
Well, you know, it's not, I know these people say, oh, return to a gold standard. They don't even understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
If you have a gold standard, that means, okay, fine, you're going to have a balanced budget. What does that mean? It means Democrats can no longer run for office. You can't say, oh, vote for me and I'll give you this, that, and the other thing. That's gone. All right. Politically, you're looking at a gold standard would completely change the political system. That's why it's not going to happen. All right. We have to crash and burn first. All right. the U.S. will be still the last man standing, mainly because you have North Korea shooting off missiles over Japan. So you got Japanese sending money over here. You got people from Taiwan sending money over here. You've got Europeans sending money over here. If we end up in World War, you know, III here, the U.S. was bankrupt in 1896, and we ended up as the financial capital world after World War I. And then World War II, we had 76% of the entire world gold reserves. All right. So the United States can't be invaded with tanks landing on the beach. Okay. So that's why we're looking at the United States dollar still being the foundation for the world. The question is, the basically way this always happens, and even in 1931 when everybody defaulted, what happens is that the capital rushes to the dollar. When everybody else defaulted in 1931, and I recommend you read Herbert Hoover's memoirs that year, 1931. They're free online. Then they turned around and said, well, everybody else is defaulted, so I guess the United States will be next. Then the dollar, you know, got hit. That's pretty much the way it will unfold this time. And I wouldn't worry so much about the Fed. I'm worried more about how much money Biden is spending, because the Federal Reserve cannot compete. You know, it cannot control the fiscal spending. All right. The bond market. I mean, now they have, you know, Treasury Direct, so they can finally start selling treasuries directly to the people. And I mean, that never existed before. So you're looking at the collapse of the financial system. Yes. All right. And after 2032, there'll be some new sort of a monetary system completely. They will try to move to this digital currency. And I believe, although, you know, people don't like it when I say it, but I believe that Bitcoin was created by the CIA and these people. And because the way politics works is if they came out and said, we're going to do a digital currency, everybody would say, what's the government going to do me now? If they create something and make it look like it comes from the private sector, oh, that's great. A hedge against the central banks, you know. And then what? You know, that has indoctrinated people to digital currencies, and now they want to start rolling them out. And you can look at Bank of England. They said, oh, well, you know, a mother should be able to control what the child spends that money on. And if they don't want them eating a candy bar, check it so they can't buy a candy bar with it. Well, if a mother can do that, what can the government do? All right. I mean, if you put that kind of a code in, forget it. It's you know, that's the end of the day. And so we're looking at their view. And I can say after 40 years of dealing with governments, there are no mirrors in government. We are always the problem. All right. They look at it as they wouldn't have these deficits if everybody paid their taxes. I mean, you look at the nonsense. So, you know, IRS is going to audit $600 transactions to get the billionaires. I don't think the billionaires are selling $600 items on eBay. You know, I mean, everything is just propaganda. I was in Australia and they put in the luxury tax. And the slogan was, we're going to go get those rich people. You know, we're going to tax their fur coats, their Ferraris, and their French wine. All right. I saw only one Ferrari in Sydney because they were already 100% taxed to get it in. fur coats, it was too warm there for that anyhow. And everybody always gave me Australian wines. But it was a great slogan. Everybody cheered. Yeah, go get those rich people. All right. What was in the luxury tax? All electrical products. So TVs, radios, whatever. I mean, this is the way they do it. They lie all the time. Whatever they say, it's never the truth. That's also why they did not like Trump, because he was not a politician.
It's pretty blunt. Yeah.
And besides that, if you look at what they really do, who'd they put in for vice president? Pence. He came from Congress. You look at Biden, comes from Congress. Harris comes from Congress. They don't want anybody from the outside. Even when Reagan was elected and I was down in Washington, they were beside themselves. Oh, geez, we're going to have to train him. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, he's a governor. He doesn't know how things work here. It's their sandbox, and they don't want anybody from the outside, period. That's why they hated Trump so much.
And got it. Well, Mr. Martin Armstrong, I want to thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your vision, your insight with our listeners today. Very fascinating. Thank you so much. You can learn more about Martin by going to his website at armstrongeconomics.com. And as I say on every show, Martin is the first site that I go to in the morning. I always feel your perspectives are very sharp, and then highly recommend you sign up for Ask Socrates, the paid subscription, because your blogs that you have on there that are not generally available are fascinating as well. Martin, thank you so much for your time, for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks as always to our virtues, Miss Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. And till the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Yay! Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.